right. So, you know, in the past few weeks, we've seen lots of social media posts go viral on this issue. People have been chatting about this. It's all about the new curriculum, right? The comprehensive sexuality education component of the life orientation program that is being offered at school level. And it's been kind of a work in progress. Basic Education Department brought in a group of experts who collaborated on the kind of syllabus that they felt it was appropriate for South African children to have. And this syllabus, it starts fairly early, sort of grade four, and then it goes all the way up to matric. But there have been some controversial elements that were shared as well. There was some information about masturbation being included in the curriculum. There was information about, there were certain controversial things about sexual orientation and the like that were being bandied about. At that stage, no one was able to access the curriculum. And that was why here on Afternoon Drive, we were very careful about the conversation we had around it, because we had no idea what it looked like at that stage. And now it's been released, and you as a member of the public can go ahead and look at it. You can look at the lesson plans and all the themes that are included in this. So that's what I did last night. I spent just a little bit of time looking at the grade four curriculum, and I found it quite impressive. And I thought it was very age appropriate, but also very appropriate for the South African child. And so I wanted to bring into the conversation Elijah Mhlanga, who is the Basic Education Department spokesperson. And Elijah, of course, your worry has been that there's been a fair amount of fake news, media reports that have been quite inaccurate about the CSE curriculum that has caused a fair amount of confusion among parents and members of the public. And so we wanted you to come on to just talk about some of the issues that have been, or the allegations that have been disseminated that aren't quite right. Tell me about, some of the complaints you've received from parents that have turned out to be unfounded.
Good afternoon, Joanne. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Sure.
One of the things that we had to deal with is the whole issue of the curriculum. People say it's a new curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, it's not a new curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
The curriculum has been there for a very long time. We have been using it in public schools from the year 2000. And that's the one thing. The second thing is that they say we are introducing a new curriculum in 2020, which is not true, because we could never introduce anything to South African schools without going out on public consultation.
Right.
We always do that, but when we do pilots, you don't know about it because we test it behind the scenes using a smaller number of schools. So that's what we are doing now. But for some reason, South Africans think that we are forcing this new, so-called new curriculum down their throats, when in fact it's not the case. So there's no new curriculum, there's no implementation in 2020, and we're not introducing anything that is new except the scripted lesson plans, which we have been piloting, by the way, from 2015.
Right.
So even with that, it's only in 5 provinces. So there's no way that we could go into full implementation next year, whereas 4 other provinces are not even aware of what is taking place. So,
come in there, Elijah. I just want to know, has there been any modification of the contents of this curriculum in the last few months?
No, there's no modification. You see, what happened was that when the curriculum was put in place many years ago, we had topic areas for teachers to be able to use, and they would have to go find content themselves.
All right.
So what we did this time with life orientation, particularly this aspect of it called comprehensive sexuality education, we had to develop scripts for them because there was no standardized content which they could use in schools. So we felt that we needed to help them develop content and prescribe to them what they should teach, because we're addressing a particular set of challenges: sexual abuse, peer pressure, bullying, HIV infections, and education about learner pregnancy. So those issues are social ills that need us to have a comprehensive response as a basic education sector. And for that to happen, we need uniform content that all our schools will have. So we thought, before we implement that, develop the scripted lesson plans and test them in a small number of schools. We have 24,700 schools in South Africa, but we're only piloting it in 1,500 schools in 5 provinces. So there's no way that we could be implementing next year without a nationwide awareness and consultation among our parents, teachers, and learners. So right now, we're just focusing on a small group to see how effective the scripted lesson plans are going to be.
Right.
There's no new content as such that is being added.
So something that concerned me was how equipped teachers are to be able to teach this curriculum, because it's a very advanced curriculum. Certainly, you can see it's aligned with the Constitution in many ways. But there has been a convention among certain teachers who bring their social, their cultural, their religious prejudices into the classroom with them. And I imagine that it's going to be pretty difficult for them to teach some aspects of the curriculum.
That's why the proper preparation by the sector is important before we go into full implementation. So what you are highlighting now is something that we have noted. That's why we know that before we can implement, we need to test it with a few teachers and see how they respond to it. Teachers in five different provinces in different areas, so that we see how the difference, I mean, the feedback is like from them. Up to now, in 2015, when I started the pilot, we had some 400 teachers who had gone through training. Right now, we have 4,500 teachers, and we are using them to get feedback on the quality and methodology of the scripted lesson plans and how effective this is going to be. And we have since impacted some 292,000 learners in the five provinces. And with them as well, we are getting feedback from them on how they are receiving the scripted lesson plan. So we are still trialing this thing. So the objections were way too premature and they were not informed, because there was just this outcry that we are implementing something in 2020, which is not true. And then there were these images which were being circulated all over the place, people saying this is what is in the textbooks of basic education to be used next year, which is completely untrue as well. That's why we felt last week that there was a need for us to make public all the scripted lesson plans, both the teacher guide as well as the learner book, so that people can see that there's a difference between the fake stuff that's circulating and what the department has. So training is one key component of it, but also consultation with parents. In the pilot areas, the consultation has taken place. So when parents say, no, we didn't consult us, yes, it's correct. And the chances are that if you say that, it means we are not piloting in your province, and two, we are not piloting in a school where your children are attending. So it's a fair concern, but we are not there yet. We will still come to that phase when we will seek your input.
So Elijah, I wonder how you are going to respond to that input when some of the parents give it, because I'm just thinking of one example I saw in the grade 4 lesson plan, and it's very nicely illustrated. Thabo's mom asks him to come and wash dishes with her, and Thabo agrees to do so. And then Thabo's father walks into the kitchen and says, that's woman's work. You shouldn't be washing dishes. Come and watch the soccer match with me. And it says to me that parents are also, in the same way some teachers are doing, parents are also going to bring their prejudices, gendered and otherwise, into this curriculum. How are you going to deal with those sorts of that sort of dissent from parents?
Well, we are developing, you know, in the curriculum, in the plan, it says to the teacher, you will introduce this concept and you will break it down in the following way, and then you'll develop an activity which will mediate. You challenge the learners, give them this scenario, let them sort it out, let them analyze it and tell you what's wrong or what's right with it and what they would like to change. So there will be an engagement. There will be some sort of a discussion where the learners will be challenged to think about that particular scenario. And chances are that they would have come across that type of situation at home before. So we'll be asking them to tell us what they think of it, and then the teacher will then tell them what they should think about it in terms of what is the right thing to do as per the Constitution in terms of the rights, but also the whole issue of sexual abuse and gender roles and all of those things, so that those concepts are brought to their mind and them having to think about these things. But the whole point of a pilot, John, is to test something, if it will work or not. If it doesn't work, then you make the necessary adjustment. So we are not married to a particular position. Trialing something means exactly that learn lessons from it, make the necessary adjustments, and keep going forward.
Elijah, there's just a little bit of confusion about something that was said in the media a few days ago. And there were reports that said the Basic Education Minister, Angie Motshekga, had offered parents the option to opt out of the curriculum if they were not happy with it. And I think people misunderstood that because they thought that once this curriculum is implemented in a particular province, you can go to that life orientation teacher and say, okay, I know everyone in my daughter's class or my son's class is learning this curriculum, but I want my child pulled out of life orientation when this is being taught. It's not going to work that way, is it?
No, it doesn't work that way. And I think that particular concern about people asking if their children can opt out of that curriculum was based on what people had already seen, which was wrong. So they said it was so gross that their children shouldn't be exposed to that, which is not true. And we've since clarified that now. So anyone who felt that would be an option for them, you now should be relieved to see that, in fact, what had pushed you to even consider opting out doesn't exist. Now, let's explain what the minister said. The minister wasn't talking about opting out of a life orientation class or opting out of that particular period where content on sexuality would be dealt with. No, she wasn't talking about that. She was just reminding us about the general provisions that are there in terms of the choice that you make as a parent, in terms of where you want to take your child. Is it a private school where CAPS is not offered? Maybe they've got Cambridge or some other curriculum which wouldn't have the components that we have in the public schools. So she was saying you can opt out of the entire curriculum, and opting out of the entire curriculum basically means that you will not be in a public schooling system where we have set works which are compulsory, where you cannot choose. Because if you were to say, my child, don't go to this class, when they are examined or when they are assessed, it means that your child would face the risk of failing because there would be something that they would have missed.
Right.
So she wasn't really saying that you can stay away and let other people learn. No, no, no. It wasn't that. And we've sought to clarify that. And I hope it's making sense to people.
Elijah, thank you very much for speaking to us this afternoon. No doubt we'll continue to have this conversation as the piloting of that CSE aspect of the life orientation curriculum continues in various provinces in the country.